Good morning to everyone. Thank you very much for your interest and for giving us the opportunity, to walk you through Q3 numbers. It's going to be a very brief presentation from my side, as we think it's better, that we start with Q&A and we give you some time, those half an hour, to go through Q&A, okay? But well, let me start by saying that Q3 was a good quarter, okay? We had a strong performance in terms of growth. Even though it's true that market performance has led to some slowdown, especially during September, as I'm sure that you are aware of, due to the volatility, of the equity markets, So if we talk a little bit of we cover some numbers and figures, okay? During Q3, we captured 64 billion euros of growth, 64 billion, which means that we grew up to 5% during the period, and we reached our historical record figure, So today we are above 1.4 trillion euros of assets under administration. So we will talk about the two old funds, let me call them like this, So the old funds traditional, which includes old funds standalone, and the two acquisitions that we made 2 years ago, so NFM, Nordic Fund Market, and Invest Lab from Credit Suisse, plus the BNP Paribas Banca Correspondente business that we acquired 2019, 2020. And afterwards I will walk you through the numbers of BNP Paribas other business, okay, which is basically FDS business, and BNP Paribas sub-distributors, Okay. So let's focus on all funds traditional. So we had an increase of assets, of 4% during the period in the third quarter, which represents 15% annualized growth, with very positive organic growth coming from existing clients. Okay, so 20 billion euros of contribution during the period, again from existing clients. That's annualized growth of 9%, and also very powerful and a strong contribution from new clients, what we call migrations, as we added 13 billion euros to all funds. Again, an annualized growth of close to 6%. As I said before, market performance was during the period was pretty flattish. Okay, so it just contributed to our numbers, growth numbers, in less than 1 billion. Okay, so this gave us a growth in billions during the quarter of almost 33 billion euros. Again, all funds traditional. Okay. This means a year-to-date growth. So I've been just talking about Q3 numbers, but when you contextualize these numbers, this growth of Q3, and we see the whole year-to-date period, so the first 9 months of the year, we see a growth of close to 120 billion euros, okay, which is still terrific. It's really, really good. When we talk about BNP Paribas other portfolio, okay, which as I said before, it's basically FDS, BNP Paribas sub-distributors in France, and also DAP and Consors, but we are already excluding the BNP Paribas Banca Correspondente that we acquired. The growth, including market performance, was of around 30 billion, okay, 31 billion, okay. So, so that's why, by putting together this 31 billion plus the 33 billion of the old funds traditional, you can reach to the 64 billion figure. That is what we grew during the third quarter. Okay. So again, very good performance. Even though in this case, the third growth lever, which is market, was, as I said before, pretty flat. So, regarding the sales activity, let me just give you some, a couple of figures. So 64 new clients have joined the platform year to date, so as of end of September, compares with 51 clients onboarded in 2020. Okay, so again, it's a pretty good figure. It's a historical record figure at all times. And it's a clear, no, I think, signal that the business model of the company works, keeps on working. And also the good news is that today, as you know, we have clients, distributors, no, in more than 60 countries, 6-0. And the good news is that this 2021 new distributors, no, are coming from all these countries. So it's not we are not seeing a concentration, you know, of new clients coming from just one market or a couple of markets, you know, but every market is positively contributing, no, with new clients, no, which is very important. So the model works, the business model works, and not just, again, no, in 2-3 countries or not just in Europe, but all around the world, no. That, but to me, is the most important thing, no, because this guarantees, in some way, you know, the future evolution of and the future growth, no, of the company. And finally, regarding fund houses, no, it has also been a fantastic year, no, as of end of September, no, with already 140 new fund houses joining all funds, no. That compares with 100, no, from last year, which again last year was this number was record number in any case, but this year, as you can imagine, is going to be even better, no. So in this case, the big majority of the new fund houses are coming from two countries in where we are currently, you know, boosting our activity, you know, which is France and the Nordics, no. Basically, you know what we wanted to tell you today. Very strong performance in terms of growth. Existing clients keep on investing. Despite the volatility, we have not seen investors, you know, distributors redeeming or selling funds, you know, but investing, so buying more funds. That is super important for all funds and for the fund industry, you know. So there is still appetite for investing completely, you know, and the migration pace is also performing extraordinarily well. So we are keep on, you know, gaining market share in the countries in where we operate, gaining clients and not losing clients. For me, this is all that I really wanted to update you with. And probably at this point, we can open the Q&A session. Okay. Thank you very much for your time, as always.
Thank you, Juan. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind, it's star followed by two. And when preparing to ask your question, please ensure that your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question today comes from Greg Simpson of Exane BNP Paribas. Greg, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. The first one would just be if it's possible to get a bit more detail behind the 31 billion euros of BNP other flows, between flows, markets and transfers. There was some AUA that was being transferred from BNP through this year. So how much of that has now been completed? How much is remaining? And then the second question, I guess also related to BNP, is you stated, 20 billion euros of upselling that have closed with new clients. How long does it actually take to move these clients to the full all-funds bundle? And will they then be reported under what you call funds traditional in terms of reporting? That's been my question, Saki.
Yes, hi Greg, this is Amaury, so thanks for your question. So on the first one, you know, unfortunately we don't have the details, because as you know this is work in progress, as you know those assets are being in fact transferred and they're on different platforms, so we do not have the split, you know, as of today, between the market performance and the rest, right? So that's why we are reporting it this way. Obviously, you know, as we continue to progress on the full integration of the of the BNPP other activities, at some point this category is will disappear and everything will be part of all funds, and we will shift the way we're reporting that. But as we are in the in this transition process, this is how we can show you the numbers. With regard to your second questions, so again, just for the benefit of everyone, those 20 billions are not, it's, and you've used the right word, Craig, and sometimes it's a bit convoluted. So it is in fact an upselling, right? Meaning that, those 20 billions are already part of the total AUA of the group. So, yes, at some point it's an upselling because we are selling additional services to those clients. And as you know, to the question how long it takes, it's a question of months. You remember that there is some work to be done, and it's on a case-by-case basis. And you remember that this upselling is coming both from the local paying agents as well as FDS, right? So the origin of this upselling is twofold. Can we move to another question?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Greg, for your question. The next question comes from Manat Chopra of Schroders. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you for taking my questions. So I've got two questions. The first being, with the growth that we've seen, especially in this quarter, being more weighted towards the BNP assets, the other, will that weigh on year-end revenue margins in your mind? And the second question is, you said that you had a pipeline of 38 billion clients in the BNP assets, other assets that you were wanting to upsell to. That, that 38 billion, has there been progress on that? And have you been able to convert them to your core platform?
Yeah. So thanks for the question, Manat. So on the first question with regard to, with regard to, sorry, remind me the because I was thinking for the second.
It's linked towards the quarter of BNP flows.
Yeah. So from a margin perspective. So again, maybe to again put a bit more context for the benefit of everyone. So you remember that, at when we reported our H1 numbers, we were showing an average margin of 3.8. And we were guiding that the second half margin would be, softer, and we were guiding towards, a 3.3 to 3.8 margin for H2, not for the full year, right, but for the second half of the year. That being guided by a number of factors, seasonality, the importance of transaction revenues in H1, and so on and so forth. Yes, we're not disclosing any revenue numbers. This is just a training update, but this plus the fact that yes, we've seen with the softness of market performance, as Juan was saying, we have seen that the contribution coming from BNPP other, which coming by definition at a lower margin, has been more important in terms of weighting than what we've seen in H1. Again, this is purely on migration, on additional business, right, on the increase of AUA. But to put your question in a broader context, we do confirm, that the margin is going to be between these 3.3 and 3.8. And I'm sure the question will come again, so why don't I answer it now? I think that what we've seen in Q3, helps, will now enable us to say that it's probably going to be in the mid to the low end of this range, right? So when we're talking about the 3.3 to 3.8, more mid to low. With regard to those, to the 20 billion of, we've indicated a couple of weeks ago in early September that, these are the topic that, we're currently working on to upselling. This is work in progress, right? And again, I'm not going to be providing any additional information at this stage. You'll have an overall update when we go through the full year numbers. But it is work in progress. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Philip Middleton of Bank of America. Philip, your line is now open.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for the update. Firstly, I wondered, just following what Amaury is saying, is part of the reason why the margin is coming in where it is because the transactional volumes have normalized, which is kind of what we expect given these conditions. Secondly, what's Q4 normally like seasonally for you? Because we're not really seeing much data here. I'd assume that activity, most people's activity slows certainly in December. And lastly, you talk a lot about fund houses in France and the Nordics, which is good news. Does the fund houses typically come after you sign up distributors, or is this before you sign up distributors? And that's it from me.
Okay. Very good. So let me start with the French and the Nordic fund houses. It's a very good point. I mean, we're talking about French, in this case, French boutiques, basically, you know, because as you can imagine, the top French asset management companies have been working and collaborating with Allfunds for many years, you know. But we're talking about mainly French boutiques. There are more than 500 French boutiques. Why we are now seeing this appetite, you know, from these French boutiques to join Allfunds? Well, basically because now for the first time in the history of the company, we have distribution capabilities, you know, in France, you know, thanks to our deal with BNP Paribas. So that's the reason. So in this case, the fact that now we have very important, no, distributor in France, this has in some way forced, no, these French boutiques to join the platform. In the case of Sweden, it's in some ways also similar, no, but this phenomenon, no, of onboarding so many Nordic fund houses started last year, no, in 2020. Okay. So what we are seeing now in 2021 is basically we are finalizing with these more recent Swedish, no, fund houses onboarding. We are finalizing the strategy of having all the product that we need to have in Sweden in order to be competitive, no, in this market. No? But as you know, in Sweden we currently have a significant number of clients, no, already. No? So this is. This is regarding, you know, the fund houses. Probably Amaury or Celia, you can cover the first question, okay?
Yep, sure, Juan, thanks. So Philip, good morning. So with the with regard to transaction and, you know, the weight of transaction, yes, you know, we as we correctly expected, you know, transaction was pretty strong in the first half. And so this has normalized a little more, you know, in Q3. All the more that, you know, you were talking about seasonality and, you know, you were talking about Q4, but, you know, obviously the, you know, when we're looking at seasonality for Q3, it tends to be a bit softer as well, right? So Q3 is probably a month where, you know, from an activity perspective, which can affect, you remember that transactions are, you know, consist mainly of what we're charging on the LPA side to the retail side, as well as FX and other products. So I mean, the result of transaction being softer was a normalization plus a seasonal impact as well. And so we've seen that getting, you know, normalizing, you know, as expected in Q3. With regard to Q4, yes, you know, December definitely tends to be a month which is always hard to predict. It depends when you know, when you guys, when analysts, investors, and so on are closing the books. So we know that the last week of December is tends to be more quiet. But it's also the quarter where people are, you know, closing the year, right? So we can see some surge. We have some positive seasonality as well in Q4. For instance, on the FX side, which, you know, we've seen in the past that it could be a strong quarter. So net, you know, I mean, the true seasonality for us, for Allfunds, is more in Q3, which tends to be a bit soft. You know, Q4, we've seen different trends. I don't know, Juan, if you want to add to this.
No, I absolutely. Thank you, Amaury. I mean, definitely with our revenues, no, coming from assets, no, from our traditional business, we have not been able in so many years not to detect any seasonality. Okay, unfortunately, so we are not able to identify any trend. With transaction revenues, yes, no, as Amaury mentioned before, without any doubt, our clients trade less in July and in August. And therefore, you know, we see less revenues coming from Forex and less revenues coming from Banca Correspondente, no? Without any doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Juan. Can we move to another question?
Yes, our next question today comes from Angeliki Bairaktari of Autonomous Research. Angeliki, your line is open.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Can I please ask what is the pipeline that you see for new client migrations in the fourth quarter of this year? And also, you mentioned that those 13 billion of new client flows came primarily from the UK, the Middle East, and Latin America this quarter. In terms of the UK, could you provide a bit more color on your presence in the UK today? How many assets under administration you have, and also which are your biggest competitors in this market, and where are those sort of new client flows coming from? From which platforms are you taking market share, perhaps?
Okay, so let me cover, first the second question, no? Regarding the UK market. In the UK, we have 75 billion, around 75 billion euros of assets. We are, as you know, the only pure B2B platform in this country. So there are other players that do B2B, but they also do B2B2C or even B2C. No? So we are the only pure B2B platform. We are the largest pure B2B platform. We keep on growing. We keep on gaining clients without any doubt. And it's difficult not to talk about a specific competitors, no, in the UK market. No, I think it's easier to recognize global competitors around the world. No, that we have discussed about. No, I don't know, Fansettel, Vestima, Clearstream. This type of big platforms, no. However, in the UK, it's a very different market, as you know, dominated by IFAs, in where all the tax wraps are very, very important, no. And sometimes, you know, we might lose a client, you know, also because there is a lot of M&A activity, as you have seen, no? But there is just one platform, no, which is, or we could say that the most similar platform, no, in the UK to Allfunds compared to Allfunds is Cofunds, no, that now is owned by Aegon, no? Okay, so this is regarding the UK, and regarding migrations for Q4, I believe that we cannot really disclose the number, okay, what I can tell you is what we said, no, during H1, no, when we published end of August, no, beginning of September, no, our H1 results, is that this year was going to be the best year of the company migrations. We knew that was going to happen, thanks to such a, you know, powerful a pipeline, no? So now, and this, I can also answer part of the question, no, that one of your colleagues made before, no? It takes Allfunds around 6 months, no, to migrate a client, no, since we signed the agreement. So it takes time, but the beauty of the model is that we also have pretty good visibility, no, of what is going to happen with almost 6 months in advance, no. Once we close the agreement, we know that in the following 3 to 6 months we will see the money, no, joining the platform. So the only thing that I can tell you is that, as we said, no, the beginning of September, you know, this year, 2021, thanks to the great sales activity and to this record number of new clients, we will have a very, very good 2021 migrations number. No? That's all we can say at this point.
If I could just follow up perhaps on that, I think at the time of the IPO, you had given an indication of 100 billion new client migrations over the medium term, without specifying obviously a specific timeline to what this medium term means. And I see now that you have actually managed to bring in 47 billion in the first three quarters of this year. So you're halfway there. Could you give us an indication with regards to, you know, what you meant by this medium term? Medium term in our minds means probably 2023, 2024, but I guess this looks now very conservative considering you have already done 47 billion this year.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to, Amaury, probably, do you want to take this one? You know,
So, Angeliki, I mean, you know, I'm not, your English is much better than mine, so I'm not going to start debating what's midterm and so on, but I think you're directionally correct, right, in terms of, you know, what we had in mind. You know, a couple of points. The first one, which is the most important one, is that, you know, we provided, as you said, a midterm and a long-term guidance, you know, not a year-on-year guidance, right? And we all know in this industry that, you know, you have valleys and pikes, or, you know, so you know, there's a bit of volatility in there, right? So that's the first point. The second one is, you know, today is a trading update, and we're, you know, this is not the place where we're going to be, you know, providing or revising, you know, an updated long or midterm guidance. But obviously, you know, once we have 2021, you know, in the bag, and you know, this is an ongoing discussion that we're having with the market. We've just recently IPO'd, you know, and if and when it's the time comes to revise and update this guidance, we will do it. But you know, the point is, 2021 has been a very, you know, up to now, and we expect that you know, the full year is going to be great. But up to now, it's been a fantastic year, so we're very happy about this. You know, as Juan said, you know, it's been good on a number of fronts. We've seen that Q3, you know, again, all the engines of growth have worked, although the market performance one was hit a bit at the in the last part of the quarter. So yes, it's been a very strong year. You know, we'll see what's ahead of us. We have a very good, you know, we continue to have a solid pipeline. But it's true again, you know, your questions could also be, you know, when we're looking in terms of additional, you know, new distributors that onboard the platform on a year-to-date basis, we're at 64, right, which is clearly above what we have seen in the past as well. So you know, again, I think it's a valid question, but it's probably not the right time to go through it right now.
Thank you very much.
Our next question today comes from Andrew Coombs of Citi. Andrew, please go ahead.
Good morning. If I could just stay with the theme of the BNPP other assets, just would love your thoughts on what the revenue opportunity is here in the medium term. So if I break it into three parts, is the biggest revenue opportunity the ancillary services you can offer to the 700 third-party distributors? Or is it, secondly, the ability to add new French fund houses now that you have that distribution capability in the region? Or is it, third, an ability to reprice upwards for fund houses that you distribute into in France via the broader harmonization program you have ongoing? I think there's three revenue opportunities there. Which of those is the most attractive for you? Where do you see the most potential of those three?
Hi, Andrew. Well, it's a very, very good question. And the answer is the first one. No, it's the first example that you mentioned, which is to try to convince the FVS clients, you know, to convert to our distribution agreements, not with the fund houses. As you know, the economics, the revenues that we are making today out of that book comes from BNP Paribas paying us, no, for trading, no, for doing the trading and execution of those assets. But that's all the margin that as of today we are getting of that book of business. Okay. So the opportunity, without any doubt, is what we call, no, client conversion, no, which is again converting those hundreds of clients from their existing agreements with direct agreements with fund houses, or probably agreements with fund houses provided by other platforms. Okay, convince them to join our distribution agreements, no, and therefore normalizing the margin for all funds, no, with those clients, no, as you can imagine, because once they become clients with full service, no, full service clients of all funds, then we can activate, no, our normalized margin and what, which is the margin that you know, no, that we have at all funds. So that's the most important opportunity, without any doubt.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question today comes from Reg Watson of ING. Reg, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'd just like to follow up on Andrew's question then, please, Juan and Amaury. The 700 third-party distributors in BNP, please could you tell us what percentage of those have actually come across and signed on the All Funds platform, and what percentage of AUA that represents from the starting balance at the time of IPO? That's my first question. And then my second question is, do you have any insight into why the annualized AUA growth in BNP Other in the third quarter is so much stronger than in All Funds traditional business? And then my final question is, I noticed that there appears to be a deceleration of fund house and distributor onboarding in Q3 versus the nine-month rate. Juan, you mentioned earlier in the call that there's no seasonality to this, but again, I wonder if you could share some insight with us into how you expect this to go in going forward. Thank you.
I will answer the easiest question, no, which is the third one, no, and yes, it's seasonality, no, in the sense that during July and August, which comprises, no, two of the three months of the quarter, without any doubt, you know, the activity also from our funds group teams, no, so which have the team, no, we have more than 40 people, no, working at funds group, no, negotiating and onboarding fund houses, without any doubt, in July and in August, that activity is you know, is less active, no, than the rest of the year.
Okay.
That's yeah, but again, this is something that is it happens every single year, no, not just this year, no. And yep. And regarding the other two questions, probably, you know, the team in Madrid, you know, can cover them, no.
Yeah, sure, Juan. So hi, Red. So on the 700 distributors, you know, again, let us take the opportunity to repeat what we have, you know, said. When we presented our H1 results a couple of weeks ago, so there is some work to be done here, you know, in terms of setting, you know, determining, you know, what's the full potential, and this is actually, you know, this is work in progress. You know, again, please put that in the overall context of the full, you know, migration and of the BNP Paribas transaction, which closed in October of last year, right? So there's been a lot of work taking place, you know, on a number of fronts. We have not, you know, we've been active on this. You know, we have reached out to the low-hanging fruits, which we had in, you know, in both the FDS side, so, you know, which would be part of that bucket, and also on the local paying agent or banca correspondente, you know, which, you know, is part of the All Funds, you know, classic or traditional that we have disclosed, but it's work in progress, and the intention is to, you know, is to go back again to you guys with the presentation of the full year results and give you a better overview of how we intend to approach this, and to size the opportunity a bit more than what we could do up to now. With regard to your second question, Reg, on the reason why the BNPP other increase of flow is seems to be high compared to the one we're seeing on the old funds traditional side. Do not forget that this also includes assets which are actually being migrated and transferred onto the old funds platform, right? So, I know that sometimes, again, what we have to, what we're trying to reflect as precisely and as, simply as possible is, we're explaining to you how the AUA has grown from the end of Q2 to the end of Q3, right? And in there, of course, that's why we separate the BNPP other bucket, right? Because on the traditional side, the growth can come from market performance, from migrations, and from flows. On the BNPP other, it can also come from, market performance, flows, da-da-da. It's not going to come from migrations because there's no, we are not actively, going after clients, as you've understood. But it also is fueled by, by assets that are actually being transferred onto the old funds platform, right? So that's why, this is included in the 30 billion of BNPP other.
Okay, so just so I've understood correctly, so this is assets that are being transferred into the, when you say the Allfunds platform, it sounds like it's the BNPP platform, which is the low margin business, but you still count it as AUA, even though it's low margin AUA. And this is through existing distributors bringing new assets to the platform. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's bear in mind that that when we talk about BNP other, no. We are just excluding the Banca Correspondente business, no, that we acquired, no, which that's pretty basic, but bear in mind that other includes three types of businesses, no, being the largest but the less profitable FDS, but there are two other businesses there, as you know, BNP Paribas have distributors, okay, mainly in France, and this is full service, so we have the normal margin that we have with any other client in the platform, and DAP and Consors, okay, which is, that these are the two entities, no, that BNP Paribas Group has in Germany, okay? So, in this case, I think that what we have done, well, not I think, I confirm you that what we have done is that we have included in these Q3 numbers of BNP Paribas others, okay, the migration not coming from FDS, which is the 400 billion migration, the big one, but the migration coming from DAP and Consors, okay, that has basically, taken place almost two-thirds, has taken place in between Q2 and Q3. However, as I see that this might generate some confusion, I think, Silvia and Amaury, that we can probably give more detailed, because it's true, no, that that there are three different businesses, no, FDS, BNP Paribas sub-distributors in France, and DAP and Consors, and sometimes, as we are in the middle, no, of migrating the assets, it might generate some confusion. So, I mean, the last thing that we want is to translate you this type of, of potential confusion. So we will work on providing you all the information that you need, okay?
That's great. Thank you
very much. Exactly, Juan. And for the benefit of everyone, again, let me reiterate what I said, a few questions ago. You should really look at the way we're displaying, AUA right now as, as the transitional form while we're completing the full integration of the BNPP activity, right? But obviously, the intention is to move to another split once we're, because as Juan was saying, right, this is complex, but it's large as well, so we want to make sure that you understand. The intention, though, is, as soon as possible, when we're done with this, integration, is to move to another split of AUA, which would be clearer for all of us.
Yeah.
So we'll
need to do that.
Expect us to change that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because, you know, like some minutes ago, no, I listened from you guys, I mean, from the market, no, from the investors, that the BNP Paribas other portfolio was growing more, no, or grew more in Q3 than the old funds, no, traditional. And it's true, no, because we are telling you this, but it's not really true, no, because here I'm sure you know that we are including this migration coming from that and consorts, no. We will try to clarify these numbers much better.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the additional clarity to come, and I won't push it any further. But obviously, Anne-Marie, I think your explanation earlier of the fact that it's work in progress means that we need to be patient with you. But I would sort of just add the final remark that clearly this was a central plank of the investment case at IPO. And we still seem to be lacking hard data on really how it is progressing. And I very much look forward to, and I think the market and investors will very much look forward to greater clarity and explanation on what you've been able to achieve in the year of 2021 when you feel able finally to tell us perhaps next year
But Reg, let me correct you here, because I'm not sure I would agree with your statement, right? I mean, if there are two topics here, right? One is the AUA and how it's been displayed, and you know where the growth is coming from. The other is, you know, if you were making reference to the 700 sub distributors and the potential of for them to be converted, again, let me reiterate what we have consistently said since, you know, at IPO and since, which is that we view this as an avenue for, you know, the upselling avenue here is going to fuel, you know, the migration or, you know, the capacity to increase, you know, the margin and to upsell to those clients and so on. But this is not the central case, you know, to be very clear, this is not the central investment case, you know, of the company. And by the way, you know, we had, you know, at IPO, we even said that this was not included in the, you know, in the forecast per se, because we didn't feel that, you know, I remember Juan explaining to investors on a number of occasions, you know, this is a mine and we need to determine what's in the mine, whether there's gold or something else or maybe nothing, right? So the good news again is that, and I think that this is what should be reassuring to investors, is we have not remained idle. You know, we started to convert some clients, the 20 billion that we've talked about. Again, they're not just coming from FDS, but also from LPA. I think it's important for you to keep that in mind. We've also indicated a few weeks ago that there were 38 billion more, you know, that we were actively working on. But it's not, you know, Reg, please, you know, this is, to be very clear, the success of all funds, you know, will be based on the capacity to realize our business plan, which is continue to grow on the migration, continued, you know, additional flows from clients, geographic expansion, digitalization of the platform, the capacity to scale and so on. This is not, you know, I wouldn't qualify this as a central point of our investment case, because it's not.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. I think it's more that investors see it as a potential source of significant upside, and the absence of debt, it shouldn't come as a surprise to you that I think the preceding four or five questions to mine on this call have also been about the PNP distribution and the migration of AUA. So yeah, it's clearly the leverage from the current low margin to a higher margin of that significant pool of AUA is not lost on people, and even though you're not promoting it as a central part of the investment case, I think investors see it as one.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think I completely agree. I think the only issue that in my opinion, no, that we could try to give more transparency is if we are able to give you the breakdown of the BNP Paribas other portfolio, because again, there are three businesses there included in one, no, in BNP Paribas other portfolio, so DAP and consorts, BNP Paribas sub-distributors and FDS, and the problem is that in order to understand the 31 billion, and this is the point, the 31 billion, not the rest of the things, no, that I think that we, again, we discussed them in September, no, and I, we perfectly understand that it's absolutely critical and core for you to understand if there is upside or not, no, in the BNP Paribas other portfolios. That is clear. To me, the only question is that in order to perfectly explain to you, okay, this 31 billion, we need to give you the split between the three businesses, because if not, it's difficult, as we are in the middle of the migration, you know, of these assets. Yeah. That's the only thing. The 31 billion. No.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you very much. I'll stop there and open the floor to other people because I've taken up too much time already. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for
thank you very much
for providing the additional
data.
Thank you. We have no further questions in the queue, so I'll hand back to Juan.
Very good. Well, no, thanks a lot for your time. Again, it's been a pleasure. We, as we said, in the last couple of minutes, we will try, and without any doubt, for 2021 results, we should be able to give you a further, disclose or breakdown, of the BNP Paribas the portfolios, okay, for you in order to be able to better track, okay, the performance of this part of our business. And that's all. Again, thank you very much for your time, for your interest in Allfunds, and keep in touch. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.